The writer John Cheever successfully carved a niche for himself in the American literary scene, writing novels and short stories about the emotional and spiritual struggles of life in suburbia. Cheever died in 1982 at the age of 70. Book critic John Leonard has a review of a new biography about the author.
There is the John Cheever in our head, a kind of Chekhov, an anthropologist of the gypsy culture of the American suburbs and exurbs, the poet of our displacement, our sense of a lost past and our feeling that we came from another country and left behind a better self, like unclaimed baggage. This Cheever believes in simplicity and usefulness, the stamina of love, valor, virtue, splendor, kindness, wisdom, beauty, and, quote, the perfumes of life, seawater, the smell of burning hemlock, and the breasts of women. In his stories, men drown and fall off mountains. 15-year-old boys commit suicide. A baby is abandoned on Route 336. A wife shoots her husband as he is about to hurdle the living room couch. A father is devoured by his own dogs. There is lighter fluid instead of vinegar in the green salad and poison in the teriyaki sauce. In the swimming pool, an undertow. In the liquor closet, skeletons. In the snow, wolves. Why is this? Everything is fragile, especially what Cheever speaks of as that sense of sanctuary that is the essence of love. Chance abides, and randomness attacks, and discrepancies devour, and unfairness prevails, and nostalgia is impotent, and evil comes to Shady Hill, or Bullet Park, or Hitching Post Lane. Something transcendent will be required of us, an extravagance, a surprise, a rhapsody, a proof, a miracle. Then there is the John Cheever of Scott Donaldson's workmanlike biography. He grows up in New England, unhappy about his parents and ambivalent about his brother. He's kicked out of prep school and discovered by Malcolm Cowley at the New Republic. He lives in New York City and writes for the New Yorker. He moves upstate and writes for the New Yorker. He wins some prizes and makes some money and goes to Italy and writes some more for the New Yorker. And finally, there's his novel Falconer, which makes him so famous he shows up on the cover of Time. And all the while, he is doing his best to drink himself to death. And all the while, he is also, secretly, bisexual and hating himself for it. This is the secret Cheever, who despaired of borders and boundaries and prisons and trespass, who taught a writing course at Sing Sing. His tormented sexuality was there to discover in bits and pieces and parentheses and codes throughout his fiction, but most of us never looked or refused to see until his daughter Susan's wonderful and wounding memoir, Home Before Dark. What was sad in Susan Cheever's memoir is somehow sordid here in this calendar account. Although Donaldson, a biographer as well of Hemingway and Fitzgerald, means only to be thorough and is always earnest. It's not Donaldson's fault that Cheever's prose outshines his own, nor that we long for the journals that have yet to be published. I should add that I was interviewed for this book myself, and Donaldson quotes me accurately about an awful weekend late in Cheever's life, when the drinking was over with, but the sex wasn't. I thought then, and still do, that he was the unhappiest person I'd ever seen. I wish him now his favorite sort of darkness, out of fable, out of myth. It is night, he wrote, where kings in golden suits ride elephants over the mountains.
John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine and is a columnist for New York Newsday. He reviewed Cheever, a biography by Scott Donaldson.